kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I didn't die today, so I guess I'm doing okay.
What else are you doing?
Playing Slay the Spire.
So if my co-host seems somewhat distracted this episode...
can we just go ahead and do a spoiler alert for my game of the week? I might gotten a little bit addicted.
Yeah, it's a really, really good game. How much have you been playing it?
I don't want to talk about it. Look, last night I was playing Rocket League with Studa on the Xbox. And between matches, I was playing Slay the Spire on the PC.
Oh my God.
So a lot.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dark Mika, is Slay the Spire an easy 100% for a blind bitch?
Fucking no.
Hell no.
I think the benefit, though, for being visually impaired is that the cards do have, like descriptions and everything. And then, like, the logos are all pretty different. And what she could see, she'd be able to make out a difference in them.
Yeah.
So.
It's definitely an accessible game.
Yeah.
It's just not an easy completion at all.
Mm-mm.
Nowhere near it.
Not even for the not disabled.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, man. Root beer is my jam, says, imagine if you had a Switch.
That
Can you imagine
so
playing
dangerous.
Slay the Spire on the Switch everywhere you went?
That would be a problem. That would be a big problem.
Carnage says, I'm so addicted to Slay the Spire. We're all addicted to it.
We're
like spoiling the review right now.
Well, this review's done. Buy it next.
We should probably talk the news before we get to the reviews, unless you want to do the show in reverse order.
There should be, like... How long till we get to episode 666? That one should be in reverse. Like,
oh,
we should
God.
Do that whole show in reverse.
Like,
that's a good
speak
idea.
In reverse?
No, because we're not that talented. But I do get to speak forward, let alone in reverse.
Do the reviews in reverse order, and then do the news,
yep.
And then do the intros at the beginning.
Yes.
Start the show with the music.
Yes. Let's do that.
You'll have to remind me at around 660.
Somebody remind me of that, because I'll fucking forget.
Dark Mika, that's your job.
Yep, write that down.
Write it down, remind us. That and final words. You're going to have a lot of jobs tonight.
Sucks to be you.
Oh, man. Let's talk news. I think the big news of the week, Insomniac Games has been bought out by Sony.
Some people were not amused when I said we weren't getting Sunset Overdrive 2.
I mean, we're not getting Sunset Overdrive 2, but PlayStation might get Sunset Overdrive 2.
Yeah. I got a little bit of a head beating for that one. It's okay. But I don't expect Sunset Overdrive 2 to even be made for PlayStation. Sorry, guys.
I don't
Y'all
think the original game can be made.
I said two.
Yeah, I'm just saying I think the original game can't be made for any other platform. I think there's an exclusive agreement on the first game.
No, that was an exclusive. But I mean, the IP, Microsoft owns the publishing rights, but Insomniac owned the IP. So technically now PlayStation will eventually own the IP.
Yeah.
But I don't... Listen, there's a bit of a cult following for Sunset Overdrive, but people didn't love it that hard when it came out.
No, it didn't get a fair shake at all.
And I'm sorry, But PlayStation isn't going to hitch their horse to that cart. They're not. It didn't get enough. It didn't get the kind of fanfare that they wanted out of it. And, I mean, Spider-Man is as close as you're going to get to Sunset Overdrive 2. This is the way the cookie crumbles.
I don't know. I think in the future we might see Sunset Overdrive return.
Nah, I think they're going to put all their eggs in the Spidey basket.
Well, it's not like Insomniac is short on IP to work with.
No. And I was worried about Spyro at first until somebody reminded me that Activision owns Spyro IP, yep. Even though Insomniac made it. And I was like, we just got the remaster and it was on Xbox and I was so terrified it wasn't going to be, and I don't want to relive that fear.
I think this is the first time I've ever heard someone be excited that Activision owns an IP.
That's how I felt so dirty when I said it, but I ain't taking it back.
Oh, Lord.
It is what it is.
What do you think of the news, though? I mean, I think it makes sense. As bummed as I am to see Insomniac go first-party PlayStation, it's not like they've done much outside of PlayStation. Their entire history, they were a PlayStation-only studio, and they even rejected buyout offers in the past. And then they went out and had an affair with Xbox with Fuse and Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Now they're Sony put the ring on it.
Yeah. I wasn't particularly surprised by the news. I don't think I was even disappointed or anything. I was just concerned for Spyro and everything else. Oh, my baby's okay. And then everything else, whatever. But, I wasn't shook up about it or anything. Of course, the Twitter echo chamber is a thing. And I've mentioned that a million times in the past, I know. But, like, those rabid dogs clutched onto this. They shit all over Microsoft for buying 15 some odd studios.
Oh, yeah.
He can't save it now, blah, blah, blah. And then they're all like, oh my god, Xbox is dead. They're never going to get Insomniac back. It's like, okay.
I mean, yeah, bye. Xbox has lived how long without Insomniac?
I didn't need them. I mean, we all know what I think about exclusivity anyway. I'm going to spend all my time playing Slay the Spire anyhow. Yeah. Fuck. But,
yeah,
you know.
I can't just not admit that I'm a hypocrite, that I'm sad that Insomniac got bought, but I'm totally fine with Xbox buying up all these studios. I'm a dick. I'll admit it.
I will say all the time that, you know, I still stand by it. Exclusivity is bad.
Yes.
Period. That's my take on it. I don't care which side is buying up studios. Exclusivity is bad for consumers. So yeah. That's my biggest issue with Sony buying up Insomniac. It's just like, well, there's one less. But then at the same time, you know, like you said, most of their shit has been PlayStation anyway. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't exactly like we lost something. It wasn't quite, you know, along the same lines of like if Xbox bought Bethesda or some shit, you know? Like it'd just be like, oh, okay, well, it would be a bigger issue if they bought up somebody that was already a multi-plat situation,
yeah,
and locked it down. I mean, and Xbox has bought multi-plat studios, don't get me wrong there, but even with those purchases, they've said, fuck it, go ahead, keep putting your, you know, whatever game is coming out, it's going to come out wherever it's supposed to be.
Yeah, they're going to honor existing contracts. I don't think they're going to allow them to continue releasing on PlayStation.
PlayStation, maybe not, but Switch.
Switch possible, because, yeah. You know, there's some more news that came out this week.
Yeah.
Nintendo held an Indie World Showcase event showing off a lot of the indie games hitting the Switch. The big news from the event, two things released that day, which is always cool. It's like, it's available now.
Mm-hmm.
the Hotline Miami collection and Super Hot on the Switch, both released that day.
Nice.
Yeah. Super Hot.
Everybody loves them Super Hot. And
super
I don't...
hot. Super hot. Super hot.
Every time it has to come up on the show, I'm just sitting here like.
Yeah, but the other big news from the Indie World Showcase, Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition is releasing on the Switch September 27th.
Yes.
So Cuphead and now Ori, two games that were Xbox exclusives, jumping over to the Switch. And Microsoft came out and they said that they don't see themselves doing any more of their exclusives on other platforms. But I personally wouldn't be shocked. I'm still waiting for Rare Replay to happen on the Switch.
It kind of just seems like where it should be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, Rare's got their hands full trying to make Sea of Thieves a full-fledged game still. So, I don't think they have enough time to worry about Rare Replay. Could be wrong. Yeah, I've been wrong before. Know. But... That's the hill I'm going to die on.
I mean, they could easily hire an outside studio to do the port, though.
Yeah, they could.
Oh, they could hire Rattlake Games to do the port.
Oh, my God.
And then add easy achievements to it. And then you could complete Rare Replay in 25 minutes.
Oh, my God.
We'll be talking about that later, too.
Oh, my God.
Some other news, a lot of games are going to be leaving Game Pass this month. Have you seen these?
No.
No?
No.
There's a lot of games leaving Game Pass.
Do I really need to, like, buckle down and do a whole bunch of shit, don't I? Fuck.
Xbox 360 is going to be losing Alien Hominid HD.
Okay.
A Kingdom for Keflings and a World for Keflings.
Okay, I'm not upset. I own those, so I'm fine.
Battle Block Theater.
I own that.
However you say it, Mark of the Wolves, that fighting game from SNK. Joyride Turbo.
I own that.
Lego Batman 2.
Ah, shit. Better tell the kids to play that.
And The Maw.
I've seen that. I don't know what it is.
It's a Microsoft published game, leaving Game Pass. So every time people are like, oh yeah, Xbox games are going to be there forever. Not always. Twisted Pixel, I think, did The Maw. I don't remember. It might have been Ninja Bee. I don't know. I can't remember. That's too long
ago. I think, though, there's a little more nuance involved with the 360 games, especially if it's not an in-house publisher.
Yeah.
Or developer, I'm sorry. But... Yeah, I mean, like the Xbox One titles that get added to it first party, I'm fairly certain at this point that they've had Game Pass in the works long enough and that they knew going into development of those games that's what they were going to do with it.
No.
So that they were prepared for that in advance, but they didn't have that kind of contract set up when they published 360 games.
True.
So that could be the licensing
being an issue.
Yeah, that tends to be, like, I get it. People are like, it's an Xbox game and it's being taken out. Yeah, I get it. But licensing. And I mean, there's so much nuance to that we could never even guess.
Oh, God, so. Yeah. But that's not all that's leaving Game Pass. There's a couple more Xbox One games.
Okay.
Including Hue, which sucks because I love that game.
Okay.
Inner Space, Manuel okay. Samuel.
I wanted to play that shit.
Well, you better hurry up. Onrush.
Okay.
That game is dead now.
Is it?
That's had a really small community to begin with, but I think leaving Game Pass is going to be a nail in the coffin for it. Which is a bummer. And then Skyforce Reloaded.
Okay.
So all of those games leaving Game Pass.
That is quite a bit. Yeah. But it's also a big month for additions.
True. A bunch of games were added as well. This week alone, on August 19th, we got Devil May Cry 5 on console.
Yes.
Stellaris on console. which is also coming soon to PC Game Pass. Not yet, but soon. And then Age of Empires Definitive Edition on PC. Mm-hmm. Also this week, we got Ape Out on PC, as well as Kingdom Come Deliverance on both PC and Xbox.
That's incredible.
Next week, we're getting Bard's Tale 4 Director's Cut on both PC and Xbox. Also next week, let me check the... also next week, Blair Witch on both.
Yes.
And then they announced one game for September on September 5th, Dead Cells.
Wow.
Yeah. Fucking Dead Cells.
Nice. I'm a little surprised by Dead Cells because that one doesn't necessarily need the marketing. Although it's been a while since it came out, a couple of months. Year? Has it been a year? It's not been a year, has it?
I don't know.
So maybe they could use a bump in marketing, but I don't know. I'm a little surprised by Dead Cells.
That is still cool, though.
Yeah.
Awesome game. It'll get more attention. Might get some more sales.
That would be good. It's always good.
Dark Mika says Blair Witch is the only one on that list that she might play.
Oh, I'm going to play the shit out of that.
I'm going to play the shit out of Bard's Tale 4.
I have not played any of the Bard's Tale games.
Well, luckily for you, the trilogy is available on Game Pass.
Now I have a chance.
And then 4 on Tuesday. Oh, I can't wait for 4. Tuesday is such an insane release day.
Oh my god. But it's just one of those days.
Yeah. We have Wreckfest is coming out that day. MXGP's coming out that day. Bard's Tale's coming out that day. What the hell else is coming out?
Me look at my book. Oh, can't tell you. Would have to kill you, can't tell you. Yeah. Oh, man.
So yeah, a lot of stuff coming out, but some more news. I'm sure you heard about this. Crossplay is coming to PUBG in October.
I did hear about that.
Yes.
I think it's a good thing.
Xbox and PlayStation get to play together on PUBG.
Cannot wait for some PlayStation whiny folks. You can always tell. It's going to sound mean. But you can always tell when somebody's playing on PlayStation when you're in a multiplayer game and you beat them.
Why?
Well, they get salty as fuck. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm going to pull out Rocket League because that tends to be where I get in most of my crossplay experiences. You can tell Steam, the moment you get one goal on a team that are playing on Steam, they quit. And you know it. And that's shoo, gone.
Quitters.
On Xbox, yeah, they'll talk a little trash. They might even get censored a time or two. But man, PlayStation, they pull out all the stops. They know all the ways around the sensors.
How do you know they're PlayStation players? Do they show the logo on Rocket League, or are you just guessing?
It doesn't show the logo, but you can usually tell by the gamer picks and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know something with an underscore would have to be on PlayStation or Steam, because Xbox doesn't have underscores.
Mm-hmm, but we have spaces.
Yeah. So if you see a space, it's not a PlayStation person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can usually tell. Like, Steam will often have symbols that we can't have too.
Mm.
So, or sometimes when they first enabled it, I hit the mic. when they first enabled it, like there were some issues with the names on Steam where like they would straight up just show up as boxes. Because they couldn't be displayed because people were putting in all kinds of characters and stuff. Nice. Although I haven't seen that happen in like 8 or 9 months. So I think they got that took care of.
Burger Thing says, why can't we all be friends? PS, PS4, Xbox One, Switch. Seriously.
Like, I think we should be though. And I hope that's the way it's going.
We're getting there slowly.
Yeah.
Sony's dragging their feet, but it seems like they're warming up a little bit. Now we just need to get to the point where it's not hand-picked games. Everything can do it.
Everything should just be cross. And I mean, Destiny somehow pulled it out to where you've got cross saves and shit now. So it's taking a turn for the better. It's just still got some ways to go.
Yeah.
Because I think just every game should be that way.
Yeah. I know Awesome Prime wants Rock Band to be crossplay. I would love to see Rock Band crossplay. Because I have some friends who play on PlayStation, and, you know, I can't play with them. Because I don't have Rock Band on PlayStation. Because if I did, that would be a huge mistake. We would go so poor because I would have to buy all the songs back.
Yikes.
Hey, I know some people who have accounts on both systems, and they have DLC on both systems.
I don't doubt it.
It's fucking nuts.
The Rock Band community that still exists goes hard.
Yeah, we do.
Y'all do not play.
I mean, we do play. That's the point.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. Some other news. Nintendo Dream Magazine confirmed that the new Monster Rancher title that we talked about a few weeks ago will appear on the Switch. No word on other platforms, but it has been confirmed for the Switch.
Okay.
And given that it's a game that relied on scanning CDs to create monsters, I have no clue how the fuck this is gonna work. I don't know what they're gonna do.
And there's no camera on the Switch, like,
no,
you can't.
Nope, you maybe can't an scan app. Codes. Maybe
that would be the only way I could.
The
think
Nintendo
you could do
app,
it.
Link it to the Nintendo app, and you have to scan like QR codes or barcodes or something.
Yeah, or just input a numerical code.
Maybe
that would be dull.
Let's see. More Switch news. They announced The Witcher 3 will be releasing October 15th on the Switch.
That's still so weird to me.
Yeah, The Witcher 3 on the Switch. It's insane. That game is massive.
I will say, it is, and I will say, I didn't think it looked that good.
Well, I mean, it's gonna obviously take a visual hit, but I thought it still looked pretty decent to me. Obviously, a lot of the effects are gone, a lot of the extra details gone, but it's still The Witcher. You could still tell it's The Witcher. It still plays like The Witcher. I mean, it's still The Witcher in portable form.
Yeah. And there are plenty of people who are diehard Witcher fans that are gonna jump on it, so.
Yeah, Dark Mika says adult games on the Switch feels wrong to me. That's the funny thing. Nintendo is letting shit go uncensored. Sony's the one censoring games now.
Yeah, that is
funny. And Nintendo's like, bring it on.
You can't show a butt in Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But you could show a dong in The Order 1886. Yeah.
Well, details.
But yeah, it is weird. Nintendo, as a kid, Nintendo was always the super Puritan group, and now they...
That's why I was allowed to have a Nintendo and not anything else. Although that didn't stop me from playing the ever-living fuck out of Mortal Kombat.
With its sweat?
Yep.
Nice. Oh man, what other news? Oddworld Soulstorm is the latest game to join the Epic Game Store exclusivity parade, so hooray to that one.
I saw the announcement, but did they get the kind of hate that everybody else gets when they join?
I don't Epic? Think so.
I'm a little surprised.
I think people are starting to ease up on the hate for Epic Games exclusivity. I think it's more, as we've seen with Ooblets, how it's said than what is said.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Oddworld people came out and they're like, listen, we're an independent company. We've always funded these games ourselves. If we want to make this game the way we want to make it, we need more money, and they have money, and we're going to make the game how we want it.
Well,
it's still going to be on console.
As much as I don't like exclusivity, at least Epic is a PC thing. And it's not like there's a charge or you're out any kind of, you know, large amount of money, and it doesn't stop them from being on console yet. For the love of God, don't give them any ideas. But, you know, I can understand, I don't want to give them my credit card number. I understand. And I don't think their practices are great, but indie devs gotta do what pays the bills.
Yeah.
So
I don't agree. I don't agree with what they do, but I understand why they do it.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing.
Epic are, oh man, Epic are turning into like the heels of the video game community lately.
They're trying Fortnite to take the worst. They're trying to take the worst company plaque away from EA.
Yeah.
It's big shoes to fill, but they're on a roll.
Oh man, the newest Dead by Daylight crossover has been revealed. Have you seen this one?
Nope.
Stranger Things.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh.
It will include the Demogorgon as a new killer, then Hawkins National Laboratory as a new map.
Wow.
And Nancy and Steve as new survivors.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's getting a full crossover. Killer, map, and two survivors. And new perks.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Dead by Daylight is, they're picking up steam.
I'm not into the game.
Like, I've tried playing it. It's not really for me, but I admire that they're still going with DLC. They're still going with updates and expansions. It's really cool to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that it's still getting, so much attention. And I like the game. I just can't ever get anybody to play it with me.
Well, I have it, so I'd be willing to be horrible at it with you.
Woo! Trying to convince Studa to give it some time, but
it's on Game Pass, isn't it?
It is.
Does Studa not have Game Pass?
He does. He doesn't have an excuse. I've also been trying to get him into Monster Hunter World with me. He doesn't have an excuse for that either, except for, you forgot to remind me to install it.
I'll admit, I tried playing Monster Hunter World, and I wasn't really too into it. I like Dauntless more.
I like the way it plays. I hate the multiplayer system. If there are cutscenes, it breaks your party up, and you can't have anybody join you until after you watch the cutscene. And at that point, the monster's already breathing down your damn throat, and you don't have time to fire an SOS flare.
Oh, God.
And I hate that. I've been working through it. A couple of other friends are getting ready for the expansion. They're trying to get me ready for it, too. And I'm just like, I can't get power leveled. Because I have to watch all these motherfucking cutscenes. It's incredibly difficult.
Oh, and well.
Because I like the game otherwise. It's just that it's a shame.
Burger Thing says there's a lot of stuff to learn on Monster Hunter. I find it overwhelming. I'm the same.
Yeah.
I find there's just too much going on in Monster Hunter for me. I want a more simplistic game. I'm too old for learning too much shit.
I don't have any problems with, I mean, I play the shit out of the Division and it's the same concept.
No.
So I'm doing fine as far as that goes, but,
Dark Mika, here's all you need to know. Use big weapon, kill big monster.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, there's certain elementals and some monsters react better to other elementals or are immune to some of them. Sometimes they can be immune to what your gear does and just fuck you up. I was playing this morning and literally no matter what I did, if this one monster, charged at me, I was one hit killed every time.
Ugh.
Every time. And you can only faint so many times in a mission before you fail. And it was the first time since I started playing where I failed a mission, and I was so mad. I was like, I don't even want to play anymore. I'm so done. I was so aggravated, but, I mean.
So you're looking forward to the ice expansion?
Yeah. Yes, and no, I'm scared of it, because I'm still not to the in-game stuff yet, and I'm just like, I'm going to get absolutely fucked up. I'm only a hunter rank 10, and just if I don't get my shit together and make it to the end game and get a decent build before the Iceborne DLC comes out, then I might have to just pass on it.
I'm tempted to pick up the Iceborne DLC because I have Monster Hunter World and I do want to give it another shot eventually. And if I get the Iceborne expansion through Best Buy, if you buy a digital code from them, you get a fucking steelbook.
Nice.
I don't know why. It's a digital item and they're going to ship you a mini steelbook. It's not even a full size one. It's a little mini steelbook, but just for buying a digital expansion. I think that's hilarious.
You do love your steelbooks.
I do love my steelbooks.
So it's a good purchase for you.
I have an empty shelf. Like over here, if people are watching the stream, there's like at least an entire shelf of just empty steelbooks from games that I've traded in or games that I got rid of and went digital on, stuff like that. I would keep the steelbooks because I don't want to trade in a steelbook to GameStop. No one's going to appreciate that steelbook like I would. So I keep the steelbooks from games I trade in, and now I just have a shelf full of steelbooks.
Oh, Lord. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I have problems.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go that far, but...
Some more news. WB Games finally unveiled the full roster of the Mortal Kombat 11 Combat Pack. It's pretty much near exactly what the rumors were, except Ash from Evil Dead is not in there. Yeah. So Shang Tsung and Nightwolf are available now. October 8th, we're getting the Terminator T-800. And yes, it is modeled after Arnie.
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
No, but I did hear it was a thing.
Arnold Schwarzenegger just comes walking out. Oh, man. It was pretty awesome. November 26th gets Sindel. January 28th gets the Joker. That's the surprise character. No one expected the Joker. It was supposed to be Ash from The Evil Dead.
Yeah.
But apparently that's been bumped to Combat Pack 2, allegedly. And then March 17th is Spawn.
Okay. Yeah, I was aware that Spawn was being added.
Yeah,
the Joker was the surprise one. If I'm not mistaken, it's the original Spawn voice actor from the previous game.
Is it? That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't quote me on that. But I'm pretty sure that was the why everybody was like, oh my god, yes!
Well, you said it on the show, so now we're going to quote you.
Yeah, shit.
I will say the Joker was not what I expected at all. He looks like a frat boy Joker. It looks weird. I don't get it. But
you're not the first person to complain about the
Joker. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are not happy about how the Joker looks.
Yeah.
But there's still time, not until January, so they might tweak his appearance before then.
Yeah.
We'll see. But no, it is not like the Joker from Injustice 2, sadly. It looks weird. Anyway, last bit of news I have is that in more great news for GameStop, have you heard any of this?
No.
Latest GameStop news. The company laid off over 100 employees this week, including nearly half of the Game Informer staff and a total of 14% of the total associate base at company headquarters.
I did hear about the layoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Game Informer got gutted. They lost half their staff. And then the company headquarters, 14% of the employees gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not surprised.
Things are not looking good for GameStop. I'm worried about some of my pre-orders.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised that it's still afloat. But I'm also surprised it's tanking as quickly as it is.
Yeah, it's just hang out until Borderlands.
It's going from 0 to 100 really quickly.
Carnage. GameStop might stop.
Oh, God. Can we ban him now? Terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. But yeah, things are not looking good for GameStop. I hope they at least last until Borderlands 3 comes out because I have the Diamond Loot Chest Edition pre-ordered at GameStop.
Oh my gosh.
It's a GameStop exclusive, so I had to get it there. Hey, that's not the only big thing I'm getting from GameStop. This is wonderful news. I told you about this online, but I might as well say it on the show too. My Scorpio Edition Xbox One is starting to shit out on me. It's been overheating on games. I was playing a game earlier today and like a whole bunch of black pixely boxes started showing up on the screen, which I know is signs of a GPU starting to go. So I got to get a new Xbox soon.
Damn.
Which is fun. Yeah, I told Ashley about it. She saw it was messing up, so she believes me now. She said we had $200 that we could put towards a new console. The one I have now, technically, it still works, so I could still trade it in. It's still working.
Yeah.
And I could get $200 for it. So that's $400. We're $100 away from a new console, and I traded in a handful of games. They're running a special where you get, as long as a game is worth $2, you get an extra $5.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Per game.
Okay.
Yeah. So I traded in like a handful of games. I got $65 alone on bonus trades.
Wow.
Yeah. $65 alone. I ended up with like 120. So more than half of the money was through this bonus.
That's nuts.
Yeah. But there's the extra $100 that I needed for a console. And I put a pre-order down on the Gears 5 system.
Oh, my gosh.
It looks so good. It's got the see-through top with the skull inside. Oh,
it is a gorgeous console.
Gorgeous console. Gorgeous controller, too.
Yeah. It's very nice.
So I'm excited. It sucks that my console's breaking. It sucks that we're going to have to pay $200 to put towards this thing. But it looks good, and it's going to be working just fine for me. So, yippee. And I'll get Gears of War out of it, too. So I won't have to worry about if it ever leaves Game Pass or not.
It's true.
But, yeah, that's the news I have. Anything on your end?
No. No. Did you see the Death Stranding trailer at Gamescom this week? They showed a new trailer for Death Stranding.
What happened in it?
There was like a 30-second clip of Norman Reedus's character pissing.
Okay.
And then we were informed that no matter how you move the camera, you can't see his weenus.
No.
But you can use your pee as a weapon.
As a weapon?
As a weapon.
In like how? Are you just going to pee on enemies?
I'm not sure. Everything about this game is as vague as possible. And this, they show 3 different clips and still nobody knows what the fuck is going on with this game.
That's why I didn't even bother watching the new trailer, because it's not going to make any sense.
They show Guillermo del Toro, which is fantastic. But weird and didn't explain shit. And we also learned that you have to rock your BB pod with move controllers. That's some shaken baby shit going on right there. It's just, the more they show about the game, the more I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Like, I feel like this is the biggest trolley ass game ever.
It probably will be.
Like, Kojima has just gone, fuck it. They want to pull this shit with me? Watch this. And then he just makes this batshit insane game with no rhyme, no reason, shake your baby, use piss as a weapon. Who's the Gamescom host? Jeff Keighley. He's in it, but it's not his voice. He's just a character model. But they use somebody else's voice for his wife?
Why?
I don't know!
That's just weird.
I don't know.
Burger thing. It's Kojima being Kojima. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Then the fact that he like went on this whole tangent of how you can't see... It's okay. You cannot see his penis no matter how you move the camera. I'm like... That's what you wanted to tell us about the game? You left Japan in the middle of game development crunch hell to come to Gamescom to show us that we can shake the baby and that we can't see Norman Reedus's dick.
Mission accomplished.
What the fuck?
Oh my god.
I don't want to shake the baby, and I did want to see Norman Reedus's dick.
I think we would all take a look at Norman Reedus's dick if we had the chance.
Everybody would be like, show me.
Norman Reedus could walk in my house right now and just be like, do you want to see my dick? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. Fuck it. Sure. Whip it out. Nice.
Can I use you as a reference?
Will you do my podcast? Oh my god.
You can tell us whatever you want about your penis, and Kohima's not here to stop you.
Oh man. Anyway, anything else you wanted to talk about, or are you ready to jump to the reviews?
No, I'm done. I got to talk about dicks next.
Speaking of dicks,
this is the important part. I lost my run. I was four floors away from the Act 3 boss, and
man, you got through that quick.
Yeah,
again, it has been 45 minutes. So,
well, yeah, and I've actually like let it sit a lot though. Mm. Well, I'm just sitting here talking because I don't want
And play at the same time.
I don't want it to be obvious. Like if it was a battle that was getting rough, I'd just let it sit. I didn't have to think about it. This will sit
until Joe starts talking again.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Nice. All right, well, let's get to the reviews. We got six games to talk about tonight. The first one is called Slay the Spire, Shocking Right, developed by Megacrit, published by Humble Bundle, released August 14th on Xbox One for $24.99, and launched direct to Xbox Game Pass. We fuse card games and roguelikes together to make the best single-player deck builder we could. Craft a unique deck, encounter bizarre creatures, discover relics of immense power, and slay the spire. Cole, tell us about Slay the Spire if you're not already playing a new run.
I was already playing a new run.
Well, you're up for the rest of the show, so.
I know. Fuck, I ain't going nowhere. There's an achievement for beating this in like 20 minutes. So, you're cramping my style, Joe.
Hey, you're not getting it this time. You got work to do. We got work to do. We got to focus. I know we talked about Slay the Spire earlier, but now's the time when we're supposed to talk about Slay the Spire.
Please buy this game, or at least play it on Game Pass. Next.
Gonna need a little bit more than that.
Fine. A little more. Okay. So now I got excited and can't talk. Shit. All right. Slay the Spire. That is so hard to say. Slay the Spire. Also, I want to keep calling it Spell Spire. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Okay. If I do that during the review, I'm really sorry, guys. But I've done it all week. even D did it the other day. He's like, oh, you're playing Spell Spire. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Nice. You're rubbing off.
Yeah, it's a thing. But Slay the Spire is a deck building roguelite. You have an interesting layout as far as like crawling the dungeons goes. Because usually when you're playing a roguelite, it's like wander around aimlessly, have no idea what's coming or where you're going, and have very little say in how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Slay the Spire, however, gives you a map of the dungeon layout, and you choose one of the paths. Always starts with a monster fight. There's no forgetting around that. But you will choose your path for how you get to the boss. But sometimes the paths will intersect and you can take a different route or plan around so that if you have low health, maybe don't get into a fight with a mini boss.
Yeah. Don't go for the elites if you're.
I'm a glutton for punishment. I will roll up in that bitch with 10 hit points. Come at me, bro.
Smart.
Somebody's going down, and it's probably going to be me.
Yeah. Especially if you're going into an elite fight with 10 health.
I'm not going to say I haven't done it. I beat a boss earlier with just one.
Really?
Yeah.
God damn.
It's funny. I was playing this on the Xbox a couple days ago, and number one and number three were watching me play, and they were helping me pick my path. Number one is dying for tomorrow so that she can play Slay the Spire, because they're not allowed to play games on school nights.
Mm.
So she's had to watch me play this all week, and no, she can't touch it till Friday.
It's a good rule.
It's driving her crazy. But she, I was letting them like tell me, okay, go left, go right, go to the merchant, go to a boss battle or whatever, and letting them pick my path. And I forgot how I got to that part of the story. Fuck, what was I even talking about?
You were talking about playing a couple of days ago on Xbox, and that's where your story started.
I was, and I'd lost it, just gone.
Proud of you.
Cadence are hard.
Just like you lost your run.
It did. Be right back, I gotta go cry. I really wish I could remember what I was gonna say, where that story was going. What the fuck happened there?
I don't know.
Oh, well, I'll carry on from number one telling me shit where to go. I got into like act three. Every time you clear a boss, you start a new act. As far as I can tell, it ends at act three. I've yet to beat an act three boss. Here's why. Number one was picking my path. I was doing incredible. Now you have to build up your deck. There are three different characters with three character specific decks that you can build from. And I have gotten incredibly good with using the silent with a poison deck.
Okay.
And I was rolling. The problem is that using the silent with a poison deck is a slow fucking death. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't kill enemies fast. You poison the shit out of them, keep your shield up, and hope they bump their own selves off. It's effective, but it's timely. So, there is one mini boss, however, who has 999 health. Considering fuck most of that. The enemies, most of them you run into are gonna be eking out around 30 to 50. Your major bosses are still even gonna be tapping around 250, 300. This is a mini boss that crops up. 999 out of 999.
That's insane.
There's a hitch to it, though. They don't mean for you to kill this guy. There's an achievement if you can. Kudos to you. But they don't mean for you to kill him. And he will disappear if you can survive 4 turns.
Okay.
4. Shield your fucking ass up and get through it.
Pretty much.
I only had like 7 hit points when I ran into
him. Oh.
Here's the worst part. I survived 3 turns.
No.
He killed me. And I lost my whole run.
Rip.
And now number one's not allowed to tell me where to go anymore.
F.
She led me straight to that fucking boss battle.
F in chat for Cole. F in chat.
If I were the emotional kind, if I had feelings, they'd be hurt.
If you had a soul.
Yeah, if I had a soul, it would be weeping.
I'm weeping with joy right now because No Time for Games just gifted Awesome Prime a sub.
What a good egg.
Yeah, seriously. And, oh, no. Patrick, we have his clip. Here
take your money.
Take your money.
Yay!
Wet pancakes!
That's fantastic.
And wet pancakes.
So many pancakes.
All the pancakes.
So, back to Slay the Spire. Which does thank not you, have no any time. Pancakes. But it is a deck builder. It is a roguelite. You die, you start over. But it's also a deck building game. So you actually attack and defend using cards. You start with a deck. As far I typically use the silent. I have used the other characters and they can fuck off. The silent is my favorite.
Okay.
Conspicuously, it's also the female character. That's an aside, but kudos to them. The hitch is with the silent, you usually start with a whole bunch of basic defend, a whole bunch of basic strike, and maybe one or two cards that actually do something decent.
Yeah.
The number of a card in your deck, like the more of them you have, the more likely that it is to get dealt out to you. Removing cards from your deck is surprisingly hard. You can do it, but you usually have to pay a merchant, and it gets more and more expensive as you do it.
Yeah.
So the biggest
down... If there's cards you don't like, you usually just got to suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah. The defense and the strikes, they do basic attacks. They're handy in a pinch, but they're also a pain in the ass because they just kind of clutter up your card deck no matter what you're doing. And there's so few opportunities to remove cards, and they usually coincide with opportunities to upgrade cards.
And you would usually want to upgrade before removing.
Upgrading for me is by large the best choice. You only have so many action points that you can spend per turn. And oftentimes you can upgrade and lower the cost of some of the better cards. If you can make a really good ass card cost 0 points, you're gonna fucking do it every time.
Yeah.
And then be sad when that card only comes up once every 3 hands. But that's part of the fun of the game, is making what lands in your lap work. One thing that I do like, though, is that...
One thing you do like is literally everything.
Everything. But as far as the difficulty of managing your deck and being stuck with ones you don't like and stuff, your starter deck, like I said, is the defend, strike, trash that you want to try to get rid of. But as you play with a character, you gradually earn unlocks for them. So even if you're doing poorly, you can still get permanent unlocks eventually.
Yeah.
And those will improve how you play. Sometimes you're going to get attacks or defends that don't cost anything. And those can turn the tide of a game if they land in your lap at the right time. Or you may end up with ones that, you know, will give you a lot more defense. There were times where I would have 3 action points and I would finish the turn having played 7 cards. I'd have 48 defense. The enemy would be poisoned for half of its health.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there going, I'm a motherfucking badass.
Oh, God. So it's been all good. Do you actually have any negatives about the game or no?
No. Was I supposed to not like anything about it?
I don't know.
The achievements are hard.
Yeah.
That's basically like the only complaint. It's just that it's a grind fest and we're going to be here till my hand falls off. And I'm doing it on Windows and Xbox.
At the same fucking time.
I got one on the TV, one on the PC, and I'm just going to... I got 2 hands. I can click like this.
Can you run the same game at the same time?
No. I tried that with PC Simulator earlier. And it didn't work.
Oh, well.
I didn't do it on purpose, but it was an interesting test, and I learned a hard lesson.
All right, well, $25 on Slay the Spire, what do you say?
I give it a buy. I was a little hesitant when I first started playing, even though I liked it and I saw that price. I was like, man, it's a little high. But I think the content, the random generation, the way that the random generation, the procedural generation words, the variety of enemies. There are literally enemies. I was playing right before when I got fucked, and there was an enemy, and I'm sitting there going, of all the times I've played, how have I never seen this fucker? What is this? I've done this game nonstop for, I got like 40 hours on 2 different platforms. What is wrong here? Where did this guy come from? I think given the sheer volume of what's there, it can justify the price. I'm okay with it.
Awesome. I agree with you. The game is unbelievably addictive. I know Purnell gave it high marks when he talked about it a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, maybe. I don't know. It's just an awesome game, and it is absolutely worth picking up.
Burger Thing asked if the UI is different on console, and it is not. And that's one thing that, another thing that I liked and impressed me was that there was really a lot of potential to fuck up the controller bindings.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fine. It, like, I can switch back and forth. Usually, if the last 6 months or so, I've found that if my PC can run a game, play anywhere or with Xbox Game Pass, because I play a lot of point and clicks or card games and things like that, I prefer to play those with a mouse. But Slay the Spire, I've been able to just like flip back and forth between the two without any issues at all, just whichever one I wanted to play. I will say though, there is no cross save on it. So if you are playing on PC and on console, they're two very separate situations and you cannot save between them.
Are they separate achievement lists?
I think so. I'm not even entirely sure that there are achievements. If there are, I haven't unlocked any or I haven't gotten a pop-up. I guess I could check and see if I've had. No, I don't think I've gotten. I don't think I've gotten.
There's achievements for beating some of the bosses. Like I have a couple achievements and I haven't gotten past the second boss yet because I'm just awful apparently at the game. My strategery is not that good.
I wonder if True Achievements would have it if it's got a Windows 10. I'm assuming yes, right?
I would imagine.
What? I think.
Carnage, I've beat the game twice so far. Many other failed runs. Yes, yeah, many failed runs.
I
haven't beat the third
one. I always get caught like right before a goddamn resting location and get fucked up.
Oh, Carnage said the Windows 10 version does not have achievements, at least not yet.
Yeah.
Not sure if it will. So I guess we'll see eventually.
Hasn't stopped me.
Yeah.
I've been on it all day. Don't care.
But next game to talk about is called Edna and Harvey, Harvey's New Eyes, developed and published by Daedalic Entertainment, released August 14th on Xbox One for $19.99. When her best friend Edna disappears under mysterious circumstances, Lily has to rise above her own and face a tough journey to not only get her friend back, but also confront her subconscious fears. Cole, tell us about Edna and Harvey, Harvey's New Eyes.
Okay, so Edna and Harvey, Harvey's New Eyes is a sequel to Edna and Harvey, The Breakout. The downside is that the first game was never on Xbox. That's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
I don't like to play sequels unless I can play the first one. Still, you can go into Harvey's New Eyes without any kind of idea of what's happened in the first game. I did. I was still able to keep up with it. And I think, part of that is that the game is so overwhelmingly absurd and macabre that everything doesn't make sense, even in context anyway. And you're like, I'm not missing out by not knowing anything because this is just weird. Have you ever seen the whole creepypasta thing with salad fingers?
Oh, yeah.
That's very much what the art style of this game reminds me of. And I'm not sure what. Like, the whole time I was playing, I was just like, I just keep thinking of salad fingers. It's like you took salad fingers art style that just not necessarily poorly drawn, but it's what I tend to refer to as the internet ugly aesthetic. That's where you're starting. However, your main character, Lily, she's adorable. She's too good for this world. And she looks at it all with kind of the rose-tinted glasses, which affects how you start the game. And everything seems bright. Everything seems charming and adorable. Lily lives in a convent, but yet she's in good spirits. She's a good kid. She's like the most pious child that you could ever meet, and everybody treats her like shit. And that leads this game into an extremely dark path. For a point-and-click adventure, that's not an odd thing, but for the game to just be all, this is Lily, and Lily is adorable, and she's a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed child, and she does everything so well, and she's such a sweet kid, and she's a mute, which this is really the best kind of kid. And then it's just like, and here's everybody around her dying horribly in terrible accidents, and you're just like,
oh, geez.
Maybe there should be a content warning on this game. Because I'm trying not to give away spoilers, but there are some seriously dark moments in this game that is a little much. It's not scary, it's just that it's
intense.
Sensitive topics. Yeah, intense and sensitive topics. That said, the soundtrack is by the same artist who did the title track for Deponia. And they did, it's very well done. It definitely sets the mood. But man, this is quite the macabre game.
And it's surprising because it's only a T-rated game.
I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. I'm trying to find a good way to say it without, like, flat out I mentioned that people around her die in horrible, horrible ways.
Mm-hmm.
There are no age limits to those deaths.
Oh, I see. All right.
So it's dark.
All right. Yeah, I know that's one of your.
That's one of my few things where I'm just like.
Child death is not a good thing.
It's hard. And I was not expecting that. You could tell from watching the trailer and stuff that things were going to be a little macabre. And I love macabre. Don't get me wrong. But I was definitely caught off by some of the topics that this game picks on. That said, it plays very well. The soundtrack is great. The point and click is effective. It's an interesting adventure game. It's just
dark.
Be prepared. Don't go into it like I did.
All right. Well, $20 on it. What do you say?
I do still give it a try. I think if you like dark macabre adventure, this is just going to fill your bar.
Macabre is the word of the day, by the way, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a better word to describe the game.
Moody.
No, because that's not even just as unfortunate as this game can be. It's the Planned Parenthood of games. Like, err more on the Epstein side of things.
Oh, God.
Okay? Not the touchy parts, but the dead part.
All right. Well, moving on.
Yeah.
Next game to talk about. Let's shift gears a little bit. Next game to talk about is called PC Building Simulator, developed and published by the Irregular Corporation. It released August 13th on Xbox One for $19.99. Build and grow your very own computer repair enterprise as you learn to diagnose, fix, and repair and build PCs with real-world licensed components and comprehensive hardware and software simulation. You can plan and bring your ultimate PC to life. Cole, what did you think of this one?
I had no hopes for this to be a good game.
Then why did you say you wanted it?
Because I wanted it. I wanted to see if it was good, but I had no hope for it.
Okay.
I'm just like, what the hell can you possibly expect from a PC building simulator? Like, how is that going to be a challenge of a game? Well, joke's on me. I will say that they do a really good job of making it accessible. Even if you don't know what the fuck you're doing, it will hold your hand a little bit.
Nice.
Basically, your character has inherited a PC repair shop from your uncle, who apparently was very fucking bad at his job. The shop is in the hole. Your budget starts out at zero, and then it immediately starts out at negative 15 because your uncle needed some gas. So, you really got some work to do. Every day, you start at the front door of the office. you walk back to your repair shop room and you click on your computer. You check your email. If you've got potential jobs, you can see in the email what your customer is asking for, what they would like to have done. You can see their PC stats. You can see their budget. They see how much they're going to pay you for labor. And then you can accept it. There's a hitch to the emails. The game will point out this is what the bare minimum for this PC has to be done. And that will be what the email expressly states. Sometimes there are hidden objectives in there, though. Mm. And like the little sneaky fuckers will be like, oh, I have a budget of $0. But boy, I'd really like if you cleaned my PC and maybe put some new cable mods in there.
Your budget like, is zero?
You little shit.
Get the fuck out of my store. You have no money. Get out. This ain't a charity. Jeez.
I have to mention that I was also incredibly shocked by how many brands were represented in this game. I saw PC Building Simulator and I thought, okay, it's just going to be little generic PCs over and over and over. No brand names or anything. Fucking no. These are legitimate Cooler Master cases and NZXT and Asus and Republic of Gaming. They did not fuck around. The RAM is all branded. Literally everything that you purchased to build these PC with in the game are branded and actually look and behave like the parts that you would buy in real life. I cannot imagine how much the licensing fees for this game were. Because like the screen pops up at the beginning and it's like, thanks in part two. And it's all these brands and you're just like, I don't want to have to pay for their licensing fees. Holy fuck.
Hey, you never know. Some companies might just be like, yeah, go ahead, use our licensing.
And the funny part was when I played it on Xbox, I launched it and then I walked away and I came back. And so I missed that screen. I didn't see it until I started playing it on PC because this is Play Anywhere with cross-save.
Nice.
So when I said I learned the hard way earlier that you can't have a game loaded up on the Xbox and on the PC, the same game.
Yeah.
This is how I found out. I had it on the Xbox. I was like, oh, I wonder how it plays on the PC. And I loaded it on the PC and I didn't know I couldn't do that.
And everything caught fire.
Hallelujah for cross save because it just closed it out on the Xbox and my save was there on the PC.
That works.
Yeah, I was shocked. But the funny part was like, when I was playing it on the Xbox though, and I said, I missed that screen. And like, I was walking and carrying the first PC. And I remember I set it down on the little build table where you do all the work. And out of the corner of the screen, I saw one of those NZXT pucks. And I thought, well, that's an interesting piece of marketing. And then I started to look through more and I saw all of the other brands and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, they went all out.
They held nothing back. The whole process of actually building the PC is surprisingly simple. It doesn't overwhelmingly hold your hand, but at the same time, like, you kind of just look at it. If you know anything about a computer, you know what you're doing. The hardest part for me is always like the cords. Where the fuck do the cords go? Thankfully, you press the cable button and then you click the cable you want to plug in or you click the port you want to plug into and it highlights the one that goes there.
Oh, that's good.
Ah! They dummy proofed it for me. Thank you. You start off pretty mundane with building the PCs, especially because your shop's rating is in the hole. So like mostly people will only trust you to spray their PC out with compressed air and put a virus scanner on it.
But I can handle that.
As you take on more jobs, they start to get more complicated. You start to actually get to build some of the beast PCs that we see these days. I think there's even an achievement for one. It's like building a $10,000 PC.
Good God.
You can do that kind of shit in the campaign, but if you don't want to actually have to go through the hassle of like trying to run the shop and all that, which you should, it's fun and it's an interesting way to play. But if you don't want to go through all that hassle, there's a free build too, and you can just go in and buy shit and build and play and do whatever you want.
That's cool.
I liked this game so much more than I was anticipating. And my husband was giving me grief for it. He's like, great. He said, you got started watching PC building streams, and now here you're playing a PC building simulator. And I'm like, look, I'm just getting prepared for when I actually get to build a PC. It's a practice run.
There you go.
But I changed my PC's fan like 2 weeks ago, so I'm a pro already. It's fine.
I see your lessons paid off. But $20 on PC building sim, what do you say?
Give it a buy it. It's not going to appeal to everybody. Wow, an all-out buy it. Yes, but it played so well. And the cross-play with Play Anywhere, I'm very impressed with it. I did not expect to be, and I was. And I think that deserves a buy. I think if a game can blow me away like that and subvert my expectations, then it deserves its place.
Cool.
Yeah.
I might have to check this one out. It sounds really interesting, and the whole management sim aspect of it sounds really cool, too.
It'll be good practice for when you get enough biddies to refitty your shitty committee.
Refitty the shitty committee, which No Time for Games just dropped 700 biddies. No Time, thank you so much. Norg, take it away.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face. Wet pancakes.
Thank you, George.
Pancakes.
Wet pancakes.
Now, oh, wait a Lord. Second.
Thank you, No Time. That was awesome. Thank you very much.
Man.
But moving on, next game to talk about is called Gnome's Garden Lost King, developed and published by 8th Floor, released August 23rd on Xbox One for $9.99. Gnome's Garden, a fun fantasy strategy game about a world of gnomes, save the king and return prosperity to the kingdom. Cole, tell us about Gnome's Garden Lost King.
So if you have played any of the Gnome's Garden games, you're not going to be surprised by this one. So just go ahead and get that out there. If you've played one of them, you've played them all. That's not a negative. They play well. They play fine. Yeah, I think they're a lot of fun.
Games.
I like the strategy aspect of them. And even though I say, oh, you've played one, you've played them all, one of the things that blows me away about the Gnome's Garden series is the way that they still manage to shake up the levels. They're still, you know, the basic concept is there across all of them.
Yeah.
And the basic gameplay mechanic is there across all of them. And that stays the same. But the levels are still different. Just because you beat one of them doesn't mean you're going to immediately go into the next one and three-star that one the same way.
Yeah.
There's still somehow an element of challenge there. And I think that's really impressive. I think we're on 6, 7 of these. Not all Gnome's Garden, but all from the same dev. And even though the gameplay is the same, it's the same core loop, I still keep going back to them because I enjoy the time I spend with them.
Yeah, and if a game is fun, a game is fun.
So. Yeah, I'm not mad about them at all. I will say I had problems with Lost King that I have not had in Gnome's Garden games before, or any other 8th Floor game. And it was particularly an issue with one of the mechanics. Some of the levels feature vines that will grow across passageways. And your characters, your workers, cannot get past those vines, that you have to have a shepherd come out and clear them for you. One level in particular, I can't remember if it was 42 or 46. 46, because I remember I was mad I was that close to beating it. There's 49 levels, and 46 decided to glitch on me. But level 46 has one of these vines going across what is essentially a loop in the path. Now, in every other one of these games, every other level, when your workers go to an area, they immediately backtrack and go back the way that they came to get back to their hut to deposit the material and the resources. That wasn't happening on 46. And no matter what you did, if you sent your workers to a specific farm, instead of going down the path, going to the farm, and then going back up the path, they would try to loop around and they would get stuck on that vine. There's no way to get them to come back and recognize any other command or input that you would give once they were stuck on that vine.
Oh, man.
There's literally nothing you can do. That character is just useless. And if it's your only one that you have at that time, if you haven't upgraded your resource hut to give you more workers, you're stuck right there. That's that. And you have to just start all over. I realize that it's a strategy game, and the idea is figure out a strategy so that that doesn't happen. And I did, but it doesn't make sense for the level design to have this kind of pathing where they immediately will go and get stuck.
No.
That should carry out like it does in every other level and have it loop back the way it came. I had two other specific glitches with Gnome's Garden, Lost King as well. One was level, I think it was 39. In that I had only got 2 stars on it. There's an achievement for getting 3 stars on all the levels. I'd only got 2 stars on it. I went back to try to get that 3rd star after doing a couple other levels. Went back and the screen would load up and you could see all of the elements of your HUD. You could see your countdown timer bar. You could see what resources you had at the top. You could see your power-ups at the bottom. You could see, but your objectives bar would be blank and it wouldn't tell you what your goals were. And the actual level itself with the buildings and the pathways and the resources would not load.
Weird.
It would just be a generic background filler picture. After that happened, I then tried to go back and do the later level that I was on. I want to say it was 42. I tried to go back to that one, and then that one glitched out with the same error.
Huh.
However, I closed the game down, launched it back, and it was fine, and I was able to complete them both. But it was surprisingly glitchy, and that's not a problem I typically have with A-Floor games. I was caught off guard by it, and I was really disappointed with it. I kind of had a hitch that something was up with this game very early on. I've mentioned before that they would go, the pathing typically requires that they're going to go to whatever point you sent them to the workers, and then they'll rotate and go back to their hut. And I did notice that 8th floor, Mika, not A4. God damn it. She's not blind, she's deaf. But I noticed that the pathing was a little off, and you would even have the workers going through where they would like walk through obstacles in their path. So if there was like a big troll blocking their path, you couldn't send them past it. But if they had come around one way and got their materials and then went back to their hut and that troll was in their path, they'd just walk right through it. And again, that is not a mistake that typically I've not seen that happen in the other games.
No.
So this one is a little more on the shaky side.
Well, bugginess aside, $10 on it, what do you think?
It's still completable, but go into it knowing that you're going to run into issues. I'm going to give it a more hesitant try it. I still like these games. I still think they're good, relatively quick completions. This one did take me longer, I think probably because of its fuckery. Usually I can complete these games in about 8 to 10 hours, and The Lost King took me, I want to say, around 15.
Yeah.
So, I would like to see it patched and polished a little more. I'm a little disappointed at the sliding of the quality assurance here.
Well, there is a chance there could be a day one patch for it. That is one of the downfalls of pre-release mm-hmm. reviews, is that we're playing, you know, sometimes unpatched games. So yeah. There's a chance there's a day one patch waiting for it to come out. If anything substantial does come out, we'll be sure to update the review. But it sounds like this one's just more the same, a little bit buggier than usual, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, next game to talk about, I don't know how to say this one. Is it Varenje? Varenje?
I don't know. They don't say it in the game.
Damn it. Well, I'm going with Varenje.
And you want to know the funny part about this one? Before you tell the summary, after I reviewed Edna and Harvey, you said, let's switch to something a little different. And I was so afraid you were going to say this game. Because then I was going to have to be like, it's not that different.
Is this one Macabre again? All right. Well, next game to talk about is Varenje, developed by Playcute, published by Joybits, released August 2nd on Xbox One for $9.99. Varenje is a cute, colorful adventure with a number of puzzles and minigames made by artists for anyone that considers games to be an art. 8 unique and gorgeously handcrafted chapters await you. Hours and hours of gameplay will take you to faraway, enchanting place. Cole, tell us about it.
I don't know if I would technically say it's enchanting. It's something. It doesn't take very long once you start playing this game. Sorry, I know that that's a problem, and I'm trying to do better with not saying this game and actually repeating the game's title, but I can't pronounce this one.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's Varenje. Varenje.
Varenje, I don't know. So I'm Varenje. Just going to say this game. And if you have a question, I will type it in chat what it is. Sorry to those that actually listen to the show after we stream it. Nobody.
Anyway.
It doesn't take long for you to realize that, like, there's some Alice in Wonderland shit happening in this game. It's overwhelmingly surreal. Not necessarily ugly, but not overwhelmingly pretty either. You start off in a swamp type of area, so there's lots of greens. It's not overwhelmingly bright. It's kind of pukey baby shit green swamp. But it's contrasted with, like, these brightly colored elements, and somehow that makes the game harder. This is a hidden object puzzle. Think along the lines of how My Brother Rabbit played. Yeah. It's very similar in play mechanics to My Brother Rabbit. So you will usually start off without any kind of context or idea of what you're trying to do. And you're just going to click kind of wildly until something happens. And that will set you on a path of, oh, I clicked on this device and now I need these elements. The premise of the game is that your main character needs to collect the berries. And the berries need to be made into jam. And this is how your character roots themselves back to reality. Because your character has lost his goddamn marbles. Not marbles, berries. He's lost his berries.
Oh, God.
Find the berries, make the jam, get back to reality. But for all of its brightly colored elements in spooky, dystopian, surreal scenery, this game is a little on the spooky side. There are cutscenes between the chapters, which try to give you a little more backstory and explain the insanity that is going on during the actual chapters when you're looking for the objects. But they're surprisingly unsettling, and it's quite a juxtaposition if you can visualize like these scenes that are you know, surreal and illustrative, and then you have a cutscene where there's a dude in a straitjacket telling you about how Grand Theft Auto made him a murderer.
Oh, God.
Like, there's something this week about point-and-click games that just fly over the deep end really quickly. Somehow, the idea of finding these berries to get back to reality gets you to a point where you start to question if reality is even where you want this dude to go.
Oh, Lord.
Carnage said he thought the cutscenes were hilarious. They are not more, I'm not using the word macabre because they don't quite go Edna and Harvey dark, but they are just a little over the top and weird. And the first time it did it, like, it was creepy when you're talking with the therapist, but when the dude starts telling you about how he's murdered 5 people because of the video games, you're just like, I don't know where to go from here. And also, he tried to do fatalities because of Mortal Kombat, and like, none of this is even spoiler territory, because this is the early shit. And it just gets crazier.
Oh, boy.
It's a thing. However, when you manage to get past the oddity of it, it's still a lot of fun. And it's just, it was far more along the lines of being humorous, even though I was like raising my eyebrows here and there, like, eh. This is weird. Yeah, it's an odd one, but it plays well. And it looks interesting. It has a really unusual aesthetic.
Well, overall, $10, what do you say?
I say try it. Yeah. I think that's a good 10. Now I'm fighting with myself. At $10, it is an easy completion too. And you know that because Carnage did more than one achievement. I don't know. I might fall back on a fuck it, why not for you know, point and click hidden object puzzles. It's a nice change of pace to Artifacts Mundi hidden object puzzles too. Because nice. They're just pretty for the sake of being pretty. But this one was just like, no, we're just going to put our crazy out.
I want to know what else is crazy.
Hmm.
No Time dropping another sub for Dark Mika.
Damn, no time.
Take your money
indeed. Thank you, No Time. You were insane tonight. Thank you so much for everything. But speaking of Dark Mika, we should probably get her in here for the final game, huh?
Yes.
All right, let me go with that, click that, click add. It's calling, and let's see if this works.
Banana hammocks.
There we go.
Mika, do you have your final words ready?
I always have final words because I don't have to think about them. I just do word vomit.
Okay, nice. You word vomit. I'm going to play Slay the Spire.
Oh, jeez.
Why does that not shock me? Fucking hell.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Mecha Bolt, developed by SumPX, published by Rattalaika Games and Grab the Games, released August 20th on PS4 and Vita, 21st on Xbox One, 23rd on Switch and Steam for $4.99. Players take the role of a theme park technician that needs to collect batteries to repair the haywire robots. With your handy Mecha Bolt, use the out-of-control robots to your advantage to overcome obstacles and obtain the batteries across 100 puzzle platforming challenges. Only you can save the day. Dark Mika, did you save the day?
Yes. Yes, all I right. did. So many times.
So what is this game? Tell us about it.
Well, it's an action platformer, and it can be beaten in under an hour, which, I mean, it's a Rattalaika game, so big shocker there.
Yeah. I am stunned. I am floored that you can beat a Rattalaika title in under an hour.
I know, right?
Well, and the best thing is, we might as well get this out of the way right away. It's because achievement players and achievement whores listen to these Rattalaika reviews to know if it's worth picking it up. I completed the game in 25, not completed the full game, but completed the achievements in 25 minutes.
I completed the entire game 100% in like 50 minutes. And
who
I was fucking
that?
Around a lot.
Who does literally
that day I completed like five or six games.
She played it on Steam.
I play literally every one of their games I've ever played. I've played to the very end. Every last one of them.
I think you're fibbing at us, but okay.
I haven't bought all their games. So I only have like three or four. I don't get them all. And matter of fact, I think they're all on PC that I have. I don't think I have any of them on Xbox.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Anyway, what is this game? Let's keep going.
Okay. Well, as you stated, you play as a park technician, just some random girl, no name, no nothing. And it's a theme park. I don't know why, but all the robots in the theme park have gone batshit insane because the control room batteries have been lost for reasons. It doesn't explain that. But there's a couple problems. Like, there's a fuck ton of pit traps with spikes sticking out of them. And some of the robots are, you know, all they do is shoot explosive bombs and nothing the fuck else. There are ones that are just spikes. What the fuck kind of theme park is this? This is like fucking Jurassic Park. What the hell? Everything of this bitch is there to kill you. The shit? Who the fuck walks through this place and like, yeah, I want to be here. No, you fucking don't. There's hidden spike traps that shoot up from under you. Fuck that. I don't want to die in a damn theme park because it's a death trap. Like, what the fuck, man? That was my main big issue. That is not a theme park. That is... I don't know what that is, but it's
I
not
mean, a there is a theme to it.
Yeah, you're gonna
murder.
Die. Jeez. I only had one other real issue with the game other than the fact that that's somehow a fucking theme park. I hate that. But sometimes you have to destroy blocks to continue forward. And the blocks are the same size as you. They're these fucking massive blocks. You shoot them, but you can't walk through them. Instead, all of them come in pairs or more than just two. You have to destroy two of them in order to walk through, but they're all the same fucking size as you. You should be able to walk through. It drives me nuts. Should be able to walk through it, but you can't walk through fucking any of them. And thankfully, all of them come in pairs, so it was made to do that, but it doesn't make sense at all to do that.
That is such a weird complaint.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I had to come up with some fucking complaint, because otherwise I love the game. I have to come up with fucking something, okay? It's just not fair. It's a really short platformer. You basically shoot robots to make them stop moving. And then you do various things with them. Some of them you can push to the side and then jump on top of them to get to other places. Some of them you shoot them to make them face in the opposite direction so they don't kill you, because of course a theme park robot would only have the purpose of killing you.
Yeah.
Some of them you shoot to just get them out of the way because they have spikes on them and there's no other purpose for those other than kill you, because great theme park. They're totally not facing like 50 lawsuits a day. Some of them you shoot to make them fall because they fly, and then you can jump on them and then they fly you up places. I think that's pretty much all the different ones. Some just shoot energy bolts at you and you can't do shit to them because, you know, not death trap. Totally not death trap.
Not at all.
Yeah. There's four different areas for the game, and each one of them I think has around 21 levels. I think there was 84 levels, right?
There's, it says 100 levels, but I think it's 24 per world.
Okay, so 24
per world. So it'd be 96 total.
Yeah, I thought it was 21 for some reason per world. Well, whatever. They're like, you can finish each one of them in like maybe 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah, the stages are all really quick.
Yeah. Honestly, that's all I really have for the game. I mean, it's a fucking Red Alike game. You know what you're getting with it. So
I agree.
It costs $5. The end.
So $5, what's your verdict?
I say go for it. I mean, everyone knows what a fucking Red Alike game is. If they want it, they don't care what the price is because it's going to be cheap regardless. Man. And there's not anyone who's like, oh no, Red Alike games, fuck that. No one's like that.
No, so, I love their games. They're all tiny. They're quick. They're easy. They're great palate cleansers in between games of killing other people.
I don't know. I think those are good palate cleansers for themselves. Then again, I'm a sadist, so of course. So yeah, like, no one cares about what the price is for a Red Alike game. It's easy, it's quick, people are going to get it. And there's no one who says, no, fuck that. So, get it. Duh.
Awesome. All right, well, that is it for this episode. Cole, how is your run going?
I am on the 7th floor. No, I'm not even close to dying. I got two more acts to go before I'm in danger.
So you're still at the beginning, things are going slow?
Yeah, well, not necessarily slow. I mean, I didn't start playing until I was on 4, I think, and then I didn't play. So over the course of me, because I've gone through 3 floors.
Not bad.
Yeah. And I haven't taken any shortcuts. It's all been battles, so.
All right. Well, again, that is it for this episode. Cole, thanks as always for being here. Mika, thanks as always for coming on and chatting and doing your thing. Do you have any final words to end the show?
Yeah, sure. If Norman Reedus or Keanu Reeves want to be on the show, more than welcome. I will give them both blowjobs to be on the show if need be.
You're welcome. That's a full order, too, for Mika. Y'all don't understand.
Yeah, I am gay as shit. So, I am very not for guys. I'd blow them both at the same time, even. So there you go, you guys. Come on the show.